Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Welcome to an HBO podcast from the HBO Late Night series, Real Time with Bill Maher.
Okay, here we are in overtime. I was just offering Ross a... We've already given away two of the items. Would you like the pee tape? Would you like the Trump penis pump?
I got to step off stage and call my wife.
Would you like the receipt for Melania? How about that? All right. So where are the... Okay, here we are. Cracker Barrel recently announced a new plant-based fake meat option. Really? Okay, at their restaurants. As a vegan... Oh, this is for you. You're a vegan.
I'm a pescatarian, but I know that that's somewhere that we might have a little.
So you just kill fish. It's fine.
Yes,
it's fine.
I just killed it. No, I think there's. It's true.
Right, good.
You gotta have some trade-offs.
I get it. Uh-huh. I gotta have ethics in the vegan game.
Their motto: a little murder. As a pescatarian,
yeah.
I'll change that too. Do you think America will ever be ready for a meatless future?
You know, I don't like the veganism that is, like, evangelizing it to other people. I don't believe in mandating it. But I do believe that with technology and also with our environmental constraints and how much land and water and resources goes into meat and our growing population at the same time, that a shift that way organically, I think, is a healthy and probably inevitable thing.
Well, certainly we eat too much meat.
Yeah. Definitely.
The inconvenient truth about meat, I think, is that although it's a disaster for the planet and certainly not good for the animals who get killed, it may not be bad for us, depending on who you are, what your composition is, how much you eat. But there is just not definitive science, as we were talking about, really about almost
anything. Did you ever see a happy vegan? Ever?
Yes. Yes.
Seriously. They're always hangry, aren't they?
No, that is not true.
If they see you eating a steak, stop it! And you know what it is.
No,
they just want a steak.
No, that is not true.
But what we need is the...
That's not true.
...the Kevin Costner character in Yellowstone when he has a little romantic entanglement with an animal rights activist. He gives her a long speech about how the process of agricultural turbines kills immense numbers of voles and mice and so on. Anyway, I can't deliver that speech, but that's what you need.
So you crossfires of production versus taking an animal, rearing it, and then allowing it to be abused for its entire lifespan.
Also, factory farming.
Yeah.
It's one thing to eat meat. It's another thing to torture animals on the way. That is not necessary. People didn't used to do that 100 years ago. There wasn't factory farming.
That's more than 90% of the meat that we consume from supermarkets.
Right. I only eat meat from an animal that died of natural causes. Resting comfortably after a long illness at Cedars-Sinai. Those are the only animals. If Trump hears... If Trump had not blown up at you after learning about your negative comments of it, would you still be open to being his friend? Yeah, you interviewed Trump recently down at Mar-a-Lago.
I did, 4 months ago, yeah.
Yeah, and he walked out.
If I'd known he had the nuclear football sitting there, I'd have probably not gone. It was quite funny because the interview was quite fractious in parts, and then he would be quite friendly and then quite fractious because he'd been sent a whole load of things I'd said about him just before the interview. And he called me up to his office, and it was like meeting Al Pacino in The Godfather. He had this bit of paper and he was like, "You called me a mob boss? You called me a gangster? You said I should never run for office again? Why should I do this effing interview?"
Well, he had it on a piece of paper?
You know
who used to do that?
Yeah.
At the end, Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Really. He would have a list.
Oh, he did. He had the lyrics to My Way, yeah.
He was too old to remember who he hated.
Yeah.
Really? So I'm not kidding about this. He would put down this stupid broad, said I, you know, and then he would just, it was the same thing.
It was quite funny. The way I turned it around was I said to him, "Look, it's not all going to be bad," because I was trying to save the interview. And he said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, well, I want to talk about your hole in one last week at golf.
Right.
He went, oh, it was a great shot. I went, I know. I said, have you seen the interview with Ernie Els in the Palm Beach Gazette, whatever it was? And he'd just come out. I said, Ernie gave an interview because he played with him. He said, no, what did he say? I said, he said you were the best presidential golfer he'd ever played with. He said it was a brilliant shot. It was a 5-iron into the wind, bang, bang, straight in the hole. He said it was fantastic. He went, all right, I'll do the interview.
And that is all you need to know about Donald Trump.
It's all transactional.
Everyone has always overthought Donald Trump.
Correct.
He is a sick man. He has this disease called malignant narcissism. Yeah. It's really in the book of crazy. Yeah. I mean, and he's got the worst case of it. Yeah. That explains Putin. It explains why he doesn't have anything bad about the KKK. Whoever likes him, he will automatically like you.
Yeah.
I remember he said it in the campaign. Putin said I was brilliant. I think I'll take the compliment. That's it. Yeah. Putin said I was brilliant. Done. Ross, why is Lyme disease ignored by the media and medical establishment despite nearly 500,000 Americans being diagnosed each year? Would you say it's a silent epidemic? Well, I think we kind of covered
it. I mean, Lyme patients actually tend to complain a lot, so it's not completely silent.
It's not silent at all. It's just not well...
Yeah, I mean,
researched and treated, and we don't know very much.
Right, and we were talking about all the limits of modern medicine. But the thing that you have to keep in mind in defense of all those doctors who saw me and couldn't diagnose me is it sounds really weird, right? You're telling me, you were bitten by a tick, and it gave you this condition, and it doesn't follow any particular patterns, and one day your foot hurts, and the next day your chest hurts, and the next day you're gagging up your breakfast. It sounds a little weird. And there's also a cycle that happens when you're a person who has an experience like this, right, and you realize that, you have a problem that the system can't fix, right, you get tugged into weird places. And suddenly you're saying, well, if the people outside the establishment are right about Lyme disease, about how to treat chronic Lyme disease, maybe they're right about chemtrails. Maybe they're right about Bigfoot. And the next time you see your doctor, you start talking to him about Bigfoot, and he's like, oh, another Lyme disease patient with a Bigfoot obsession, right?
No. It's a terrible analogy. It is. I'm sorry, but the human body is still a mystery. We're still at the infancy of understanding. You know, they don't know why Tylenol works. They don't know why anesthesia works.
Tylenol would never get approved by the FDA. Today.
Why?
It's too. Isn't it too carcinogenic? It's too. It's.
Isn't it over the counter in the U.S., but not in other countries, though?
Tylenol?
Tylenol is, I think, right? You know what? I'm going to display.
Not at the pharmacy in Tijuana.
I'm going to refrain from displaying ignorance and let people take their Tylenol.
I'm just saying. Yes.
There's definitely something. I don't know. Maybe
that's
it's
right.
Not, yeah, there's definitely. There's, it's mean, one like, of those things. Like, it's one of those things.
Do your own research.
I'm amazed.
Big Tylenol.
You look so healthy after so much antibiotics. That amazes me. Because, antibiotics, I'm very glad they exist in this world. I mean, before antibiotics, you could die from a splinter. Mm-hmm. Now we're almost going to enter a phase of history where we may not have antibiotics because we've overused them so much. But they do incredible damage when you're on.
Oh, yeah.
Again, like any medicine, there is a...
No, and lots
and,
of...
And did you have antibiotic...
I was incredibly lucky. I had very... I didn't just take antibiotics for 6 years. At various points, I was taking like 12 pills a day, 15 pills a day. And I never had, a lot of people, their bowels can't handle it. And this is, again, one of the many reasons people struggle with these illnesses is because if you have to take antibiotics for months or years, it just becomes something that people just, absolutely can't handle. But this is the weird irony of Lyme disease is that we're used to a world where people are worried about doctors over-prescribing antibiotics. Before I got Lyme disease, I was like, oh, doctors, they'll give you an antibiotic for anything.
Right.
And then you have Lyme disease, they give you 2 weeks of antibiotics, and you're like begging. You're like, could I just have one more week of antibiotics? And like, no, absolutely, absolutely not. What are you, crazy? You're going to be dealing doxycycline behind the hospital. I know you are.
Well, I'm just glad, as I said before, I'm going to reiterate. That's the headline tonight for me.
Great to see you.
So glad you're back and you're healthy, and that's what's important, and I give the credit to Jesus.
Amen, all right, brother.
Thank you very much.
Catch all new episodes of Real Time with Bill Maher every Friday night at 10, or watch him anytime on HBO On Demand. For more information, log on to HBO.com.